Welcome to Morse Code, an Inspector Morse podcast. I'm your host, Shukri. So thanks for sticking with me. I'm getting through the episode slowly, but I love this series. And I've had my notes down for this episode for a while, actually. Just had to find some time to record the podcast. And I really like this episode a lot. It's one of my favorites. It's my favorite so far in the series, in my rewatch of Morse. Episode 2, Season 2, Last Seen Wearing. I just love so much about this. I'm going to go into that on this episode. One of the big things I talk about is Morse's depression and how it's emphasized a lot in this episode. And if you think about Morse, what makes him so great is his sensitivity. So it makes sense that he would be someone who suffers from depression. And he's not getting a mental health day in this episode, because to contextualize it, you know, this is the 1980s. And I really go into how the 1980s isn't going to be a time where a police officer, a detective, is going to receive psychological assistance or receive just empathy from his boss. And so I really delve into that scene between Chief Superintendent Strange and Inspector Morse. So just a great episode, great supporting cast, great villain in Mr. Phillipson. Oh, couldn't stand that guy. And just a great episode in general, with a lot of little comedic scenes that you don't always get on Morse. And so I think this episode allowed for Morse viewers to see a new side of Morse, a new side of Lewis, and to see the show in a little bit more of a playful kind of way, which I appreciated. So I appreciate you listening to Morse Code and Inspector Morse podcast. I'm definitely going through all the episodes, and I have summer break coming up, so my plan is to be going through them more and more, because I'll have a little bit of time for my teaching duties. If you like this episode, if you like this podcast, check out my other podcast, The Classics Podcast, and I have a blog that I do as well called theclassicspodcast.com, where I focus on cultural issues, sports related, if you like sports, and just culture in general. I also review some Lewis episodes, and I do a little bit of Morse Lewis writing on there. So thanks for listening to Morse Code and Inspector Morse podcast. I appreciate it. Thanks for subscribing, and please share it with a friend. I know this Morse community loves to, you know, listen. I don't really advertise for this podcast, and there is a significant amount of people who listen to it. So I appreciate that, because it just shows the passion of this community, the Morse community, the Lewis community, the Colin Dexter community, whatever you want to call it. It's a nice community that's very passionate about this character and this series in general, like I am, and I appreciate that. So thanks for listening to Morse Code. I'll see you after the music. Welcome to Morse Code and Inspector Morse podcast. I'm your host, Shukri, and today I'm going to be looking at Season 2, Episode 2, Last Seen Wearing. I took so many notes on this episode because I really loved it. It was by far my favorite watch of the Morse series, at least so far in my Morse rewatch. So I loved it. Excellent series, excellent episode. Humor, Morse-Lewis interactions, great supporting cast. Just wonderful all around. And here's a quick summary of what actually happened on this episode, and then I'll jump into the analysis. So this is a kind of rare for Morse, a missing person case. So you have Valerie Craven, and she's missing. Morse thinks she's dead. Lewis seems to have a problem with that, but there's a little bit of a discussion there. I understand Morse's perspective, why he thinks she's not missing, because his point is, you don't usually call a detective like Morse for a missing person case. But this is a special situation, and we'll go into why it was special in a little bit. Morse is given the task of finding her with Lewis as an associate, as an assistant. And Morse has many problems with this whole thing. He sees the whole situation as a great example of the rich getting what they want. You know, there is a strong class analysis in this episode, which I loved, and I'll delve into that in a little bit. As the story progresses, we're introduced to various characters who interacted with Valerie. We have the parents, the Cravens, her principal or headmaster, Mr. Phillipson, and his wife as well, Mrs. Phillipson, her school teacher, Mr. Akam, and then there's also Cheryl Baines, who was another, I guess she was a school teacher as well. So it turns out she ran away after she found out she was pregnant, but a murder does take place, and Morse sort of connects the dots. He connects the murder of Cheryl Baines and the missing girl, Valerie Craven. So, okay, that's my summary. And so, by the way, the murder was done by Mr. Phillipson, and it was sort of related to, I think it was related to Valerie seeing Phillipson and her mother having an affair. And so that's my summary. And I just think it was a really phenomenal story. Straightforward, very engaging. I loved it. I suggest you rewatch it if you haven't. It's a really, really good one. So, okay, on to the episode. I love the beginning of this episode. We have Morse reading Jude the Obscure, which I had to look up exactly what's going on with Jude the Obscure. That was a kind of a random story. So I read the Wikipedia analysis of it. It's by Thomas Hardy. And I also looked up Hardy. So he seemed to focus his novels and his poems on anti-institutional themes. And that fits well with Morse. I mean, I think so. Because if you think about like the character of Morse and this episode, there is a lot of that. We have Morse and Chief Superintendent Strange. So there is that kind of clash. And I guess, you know, you can always say Morse is a classic anti-institutional character, like many detectives. So, of course, we love it. And that's one of the reasons why we love the character of Morse. In general, I like the beginning of this episode. It really does a good job of looking at Morse's mental health situation. It's pretty clear he needs a mental health day or week. But you know, this is the 1980s, right? In his profession, in the 80s, you were not going to get that. So instead you get Chief Superintendent Strange berating Morse about his depression. And it kind of allows us to see, you know, this time period, contextualize the 1980s in a sense for us. It wasn't good. They weren't very understanding, but I found that very realistic. You know, I remember a little bit of the 80s. I definitely remember the 90s. And mental health days were not going to be a common thing that you would see in the 80s for sure. So it makes sense, though, for Morse to be depressed. I like that they emphasize his depression. It's a big part of his personality. It runs through this episode, and I think it helps him solve cases, to be honest. You know, for example, think about his sensitivity. It's essential for him to connect with various individuals, not only this episode, but on many of the episodes. And it allows him to make broad connections in all the episodes. So I just like the emphasis on his mental health struggles. We also get a strong emphasis on class in this episode. We and Morse, you know, we know that he's given this missing person case because of the Craven's family wealth, which I guess is a little different in the book. But in this show, the Cravens are a wealthy family, and that privilege has allowed them to gain access to Detective Morse. Morse seems more disturbed by this than Lewis, which I thought was fascinating, because if you think about the Lewis character, does this really go with Lewis? And here's my take. You know, as you know, I watch a lot of Lewis, if you've listened to other episodes of this podcast, and I know the older Lewis would be just as disturbed as Morse by the privilege. But this is younger Lewis, and he's a young father, not as cynical. So perhaps this is part of the evolution of the Lewis character, which is kind of cool to see, right? Either way, we get a great Lewis line early in this episode. We have Mrs. Baines. We're first introduced to her early in the episode, and she describes the character of the missing girl, Valerie Craven, and she's basically an emotional teenager. But then Lewis tells Morse, you know, this is the quote from the episode. He says, "It sounds familiar, sir. Melancholy and rage and so on." And he says it with a smirk. I just loved it. For some reason, I'm okay with Lewis teasing Morse about his depression. But when Strange does it, I think he came across as a jerk. I'm not saying that, you know, Morse is easy to deal with, but no one likes an insensitive boss, and that's sort of like the power dynamic there. And I don't like that, and I didn't like it. I didn't appreciate it. But with Lewis, it was okay. It just felt like they were buddies. I also like how this episode skillfully incorporated comedy into many of the scenes, just like the Lewis one that I just mentioned. Particularly in just, I don't know, it just seemed like there was an emphasis from the writers on making Lewis and Morse seem more buddy buddy in this episode. And I appreciate that because it adds to the complexity of the relationship. One of my favorites involved Morse getting to the pub a little too late for a drink. By the way, the pubs looked amazing again on this episode. So in reaction to this, Lewis tries to get a beer just to be nice, right? To be nice to his boss in a sense, from the grocery store. And Morse is so offended by this. He's so disgusted, so disturbed by this grocery store beer. And he makes a comment, undrinkable, you know? And it's just a great one-liner. Some people would try to, you know, put on a fake smile, say thank you, because he's trying, you know, Lewis is trying here. Because you could see the intent behind his action, right? But not Morris. Morris, he, forget all of that. He's basically like, this is undrinkable. What are you doing? Don't even try to get me to open this can of beer. And I don't know about you, but this, when I was watching this, Morse really reminded me of a character in the musical 1776. I know this is a really random comparison, but the main character is John Adams. 1776 is a musical about the American Revolution, and it's John Adams is a famous American revolutionary. Well, he's played by William Daniels, and I bring it up because Thaw's portrayal of Morse reminds me a lot of Adams' portrayal of John Adams in 1776. The one-word phrases of disgust, like, you know, the undrinkable comment, the moodiness, very similar. So check it out. If you like Thaw, which I know you do if you're listening to this podcast, you would love William Daniels' portrayal of John Adams in 1776. By the way, it's also just a great musical. I show parts of it to my history classes every year. And there are, just like I said, a lot of similarities between Thaw and Daniels. And just in terms of the tone, the cadence, choice of words, how words are used, I think you would see the comparison once you watch it. Okay, let me discuss a few of the side characters because they were really good in this episode and how they related to Morse. First, we have George Craven, and he's a nice contrast to Morse. He's a businessman, very harsh, methodical in his approach to life and to work. So you know Morse isn't going to be hanging around with this guy, right? He's not going to be a buddy with this guy. But I did appreciate Morse's empathy for Craven. He seemed to balance the cynicism, which we know Morse has. And of course, in this episode, it's related to class, the class element that even, you know, that made Morse take the case in the first place. But Morse was able to have this personal empathy for the man. And I appreciated that. The thing about Craven that was kind of interesting is, and I guess one way to introduce this was is to just say, like, in American history, we talk about there's a kind of like this pull yourself up by your bootstrap, rugged individualist business person typically. And Craven, he really fits that mold. I may be wrong, but he's not your typical Morse character. You don't really see that character in a lot of British shows. He reminded me of a very of an American archetype. And so Craven is it's a cool character. You don't really see him often in these British shows and specifically in Morse. Another name or another minor character was Maguire. He's very 1980s. Yuppie, had that Knight Rider looking car phone. I think it was a Trans Am. Cocaine in his house. So very yuppie, very 1980s. And we're introduced to him with an alarm scene, which I thought was interesting. You know, he's showing prospective buyers an alarm system. He's a real estate agent. And we also, you know, we get this alarm from Craven as well in a prior scene. And also the female students have an alarm. So there's this theme, I think, or I guess you can say it's a motif in the episode. You have this alarm, or in a sense, what is an alarm? Morse calls it earlier a cry for help. And I think We have a lot of these alarm slash cries for help. We have Morse's depression as a cry for help, you know, and no one really helps him because this is the 1980s, no mental health days. There's also the cry from the parents, the Cravens, the cry from Mrs. Phillipson at the very end as she's getting emotional about, you know, the realization about her husband's infidelity. So lots of cries for help, lots of alarms in this episode. And if you, there's probably even more, but I thought that was interesting that they decided to really focus on that, or Colin Dexter tried to focus on that as a theme or as a motif in this episode. Now that brings me to Mr. Phillipson. I'm having to cry for help just watching this guy. I could not stand him. He is so narcissistic, so antisocial. He breaks all the rules. No empathy for anyone. Such a manipulative guy. Unbelievable. I would rank him as one of the most obnoxious characters in Morse history. I have no memory of the other characters because I'm rewatching it. And I don't know why. I love the show, but I always forget the characters. But I would put money that Mr. Phillipson is top villain, one of the top villains. I could not imagine someone as sleazy as this guy. So great work from the actor who played Phillipson. The scene where he's, you know, and this is the one that always gets me. It's when Morse and Lewis are first introduced to the Phillipsons. They act like such a loving family. It's like, oh my gosh, give me a break. But you could see, you know, you could totally see through it. And you see that Morse is seeing through it. Lewis, I'm not so sure of. But Morse completely sees through the nonsense. Phillipson talking about how he lives like a lord and just a total nonsense coming from his mouth. But Morse is masterful in this scene. He lets Phillipson talk and talk and talk. It's great detective work by our hero in this scene. So actually, I liked how, you know, Morse mentions, you know, oh, Lewis thinks she may have had a relationship with you. And then he repeats it again. He kind of is just testing him. You know, he's letting him know, I'm not falling for your stuff. And so that was just cool to watch. Again, Morse being masterful in this scene. Now, onto the teachers, which as a teacher, I'm always kind of critical of how they portray teachers. But the Morse minor type, David Acom. By the way, I had to look up what a Morse minor type is. I'm American. I don't know what that is. And I found an article calling it the people's car, which sort of goes with Acom's personality. He's sort of a man of the people. I could see that. I could see him voting for, in the American context, like Bernie Sanders in 2016 or 2020. I could see David Acom doing that. Well, he clearly didn't like the elitism, Acom didn't, of the private school that he was previously at, the one that Valerie Craven went to, that Phillipson is the headmaster of. So to no surprise, Lewis likes him. I also liked him. And I found him to be really genuine. He was a very realistic portrayal of a teacher. There was just something about the scene where he was in his classroom and the students came in. I bought it. It seemed like he seemed like a teacher. So the other teacher, Mrs. Baines, is sort of like Morse in a lot of ways. I like when they do that, you know, when writers do this, like maybe make a female character a lot like a male character. So in this sense, that's what I thought Baines was. Bachelorette, she has her drink at night as Morse enters the house, listening to jazz music. I mean, actually, she may have been more Harry Bosch. I don't know if you've seen the Bosch series, but she kind of had that vibe going too with the jazz music. Just a great scene in general. By the way, Bosch is one of those great modern detective series if you haven't checked it out. If you like Morse, I think you would like Bosch. Different vibe, but a great show. I also just enjoyed this interaction, Baines and Morse. They seem to really hit it off in a lot of ways. I don't know. It just seemed like they had something going. Like there's a chemistry there. I think they would have been a great couple if she survived the episode, which she didn't. She's intellectual, strong, confident. I don't know. Something similar in their temperament. And you don't always see that with Morse. A lot of times he goes for women who are just, you know, there's something not connecting or clicking with them. But in this case, well, like the first episode. So go back and listen to the first podcast if you want to know what I'm talking about. But in this case, they were clicking. And I just wonder what you think of her explanation of Phillipson. She's talking about, she talked about him in a lot of ways, but there was the Sporting Day event that she referred to. Basically, this is like some sort of casual race where Phillipson shows up in spikes or cleats, what Americans call cleats. I was wondering, like, what do you think she's implying? Because I thought it was an interesting example. You know, perhaps she's trying to show how sleazy Phillipson is, because that's obviously cheating, right? You know, it's strange when people in general are like hyper competitive about random stuff, like a race with parents. Like, you're going to show up in cleats or in spikes because you want to win. It also shows that he breaks the rules. He's not really reading the audience. And it kind of fits in with Phillipson and his arrogance. He's a very, very arrogant character. And I just thought that was interesting, an interesting example to give. And to me, I play sports. I grew up playing basketball. So if someone showed up in gear that gave them an advantage over everyone and it was like a casual game, I think I would initially think, like, what's going on? Why is this person cheating? And it's kind of a character issue. So I just thought that was interesting that that was her reference. But again, the Morse Baines scene was excellent. One of my favorites in the episode. Another scene I loved involved Lewis and Morse shopping together. I don't know. This just reminded me of Lewis and Hathaway. So this is kind of a thing. You know, there's a continuity on this show of our beloved detectives shopping together. And in this case, Morse is eating one of my favorites, cornflakes, or he's buying cornflakes. I'm about to eat cornflakes after this podcast. So I like that. I don't know. Were they doing some cornflakes commercial there or advertisement? Because it was very prominent on the screen. It kind of reminded me of when you see like a Coca-Cola can on an episode of whatever you're watching, and you just know they're advertising. So this seemed like a cornflakes advertisement of some sort. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Okay, let's get to the end. Morse meets with Miss Craven and Mrs. Phillipson. And I think Morse just handles this whole situation with such sensitivity, such skill. I ended up, and I love that Dexter wrote it this way, I felt empathy for both women. I mean, think about it. They're both victims of this antisocial, narcissistic guy, Mr. Phillipson. And in fact, the final scene with Phillipson was just masterful. Great scene. I love the awkwardness of the whole thing, because Phillipson is, when you really let him talk, he's an awkward person. And he just thinks he can talk his way out of everything, or out of anything, really. And it's interesting how he asks, this is kind of a side note, maybe it's a class thing, I wonder what you think. He asks Miss Craven for a drink, and she gets him one, like, in a very polite way. It was kind of interesting to get her to leave so he can try to manipulate his wife. I just thought it was funny. I don't know. It always makes me laugh a little bit when I see that scene. It's polite, but the scene didn't seem to call for it. So I'm just wondering if there was a class/etiquette thing going on there that I'm missing maybe. Well, turns out Phillipson killed Miss Baines because she was blackmailing him because of his relationship with Craven. And Akam was allowing Valerie to live with him. There's also a storyline with Catholics, and I was kind of confused by that. I don't know. Maybe one of you can email me exactly what was going on there with Valerie Craven. And I was just a little lost when it came to that. And I'm not really sure what the significance was of that. But in general, it was a great story. This was a 10 out of 10 for me. Maybe not. I don't know if it was for you, but I love this episode. I really love the combination of humor. The depression element was so skillfully done with Morse. The villain was great. The supporting cast was phenomenal. And we get great Max scenes and, you know, kind of like taking a step up for Chief Superintendent Strange. He's in this episode in some great scenes. If you haven't seen this episode in some time, check it out again. It's high level Morse. And one last point. You can really feel the relationship between Morse and Lewis developing. You see that in the humor. You're not going to just, you know, joke around with someone unless you're really comfortable with them. And in this episode, you really see, kind of reminds me of Lewis and Hathaway in a lot of ways. So love this episode. Definitely recommend it. Thanks for listening to the Morse Code and Inspector Morse podcast. If you want to share it with a friend, definitely if they're a Morse fan, feel free. I know I take my time with the episodes. I'm busy with my blog, theclassicspodcast.com, if you're interested. I sometimes write about Lewis and Morris on there, but I usually focus on cultural things. But it's a pretty cool website. I'm enjoying my work on the blog, theclassicspodcast.com. You can also check out my other podcast, The Classics Podcast. And I talk about all sorts of cultural issues on that podcast in general. So thanks for listening to Morse Code. I appreciate it. Thanks for subscribing. And I'll see you around. Thanks for listening.